Oh, good morning to, let's see, what are we at, Kelly? 82,000 listeners on 27 Minutes with John and Kelly. Anyway, you know, we haven't done our show now. I took a look on the website since early September.
Really?
A lot has happened. And we had at least three or four podcasts dealing with Peninsula food security, Peninsula food sustainability, agritourism. We had great speakers. And that was an emerging trend, at least for people like me, coming out of COVID. This notion that food is not, it just can't be taken for granted.
Yeah.
And so since then, some
we're really, back in COVID.
Yeah, we're back again.
We're not on the way out anymore.
And some really exciting things have been happening. And a person central to these developments is Jen Rashley. We have Jen online. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Kelly.
And Jen is the, amongst other things, so we'll get into the other things, but specifically for this discussion is Director of Partner and Community Engagement for the Sandown Center for Regenerative Agriculture. Jen happens to also be the coordinator for the North Saanich Flavor Trails Society. So this is like we just hit a home run here with Jen, because this is somebody who can really provide a bit of context around some tangible things that are coming out of what I think now is becoming a societal movement and trend towards taking food more seriously, wondering what it's all about. How does it fit into climate change? How does it fit into economic development? It's not just going to the grocery store and buying it. There's this explosion of activity. Jen, how are you? People have come online to hear you, not me. So my apologies.
No, I did. It's good. It's very, very good preamble.
Okay, well, maybe you can tell us a little bit first just about what the Sandown Center is. What is going on out there in beautiful North Saanich?
Oh my gosh. Well, the Sandown lands are the former horse track. There used to be horse racing that happened there. And it is 83 acres of arable land, field, forests, and wetlands. And it's now in the hands of the District of North Saanich. And the district has just last week given the green light for the Sandown Center to happen on site. So what we are proposing and what we're going to start building is really what the community has been asking for at least 10 years now, is that it become this agricultural hub of a rural agricultural region. So what that means is that we're going to have teaching and learning on site with kids, with residents, with university students. We're going to be fostering the next generation of farmers through the Farmpreneur program. We're going to be enhancing biodiversity on site, which means we're going to build soil health. We're going to tackle invasives in the forest. We're going to enhance the water quality, because Sandown is right in the middle of Sachem Creek, and it is an important part of that watershed. We are partnering with UVic in a substantial way. They've already come on board and just been amazing with their response. We've got a PhD candidate already. We have a master's student working on site. We've been hosting an undergrad student in the forest. And last but not least, my favorite part really is the public programming. So community gardens, grow your own food courses, grow your own flower courses, a Sandown Supper Club. We're planning on having big food festivals, that sort of thing. Wow. So really, it is all about, the central theme is just falling in love with our local food system and really understanding that this is the land that feeds us. You know, this region that we live in right here, the soils right under our feet, can foster a sense of abundance and can, you know, create a whole beautiful network of local economy, local economic activity that's all under built by food production.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic.
Sounds like a destination.
Right? I want to live there. I'm never going to leave. I'm just going to wander around and I'll just sleep under a tree for a little while, maybe come home occasionally.
Now, and there's no more horse racing, but can we bet on like vegetables or something?
Good idea. You know what? There are pumpkin races for sure. We may bring that back. And I mean, I haven't talked to them yet, but we have a Shire horse farm here in North Saanich, and I would love to see some horse tilling. I think the community would get a real kick out of that. And
totally.
So, you know, who knows? The fun will never stop, basically.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
I find this farmpreneur notion and concept fascinating. So in our discussions this year and in my learning about this industry, and one of our speakers recently, we talked with Tamara Knott, environmental farmer at Bright Greens. And this introduction to us on a different kind of farming that I had no idea. Most people think farming is when you sort of look as you come off of the Keating Crossroad exit there, you're still on the highway, you look to the right, and there's this mass amount of land and just sort of tons of one kind of product. And clearly that's changing. That's what we've learned. Now, in the course of changing, can you, Jen, explain to us what that change looks like? How that then allows smaller businesses to be involved with farming, you know, as opposed to shelling out $5 million for a lot of land, another $1 million for all equipment, potentially another $500,000 for all the operating costs. Mm-hmm. Those days are gone. And mm-hmm. and is that central and core to your program, I think?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Okay. It's going to be a big answer. I hope I don't get lost along the way. I think that what we're seeing now is a return to small scale intensive agriculture. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of agriculture that has fed the world throughout history. Truly. I mean, you got to look at places like Britain with the Victory Gardens. They were feeding themselves on small plot farms. Same with throughout Russia, right? So it's not that it's an mm-hmm. uncommon thing, but I think what we have seen since the Second World War, really, is that we've moved into a kind of agriculture that's been based on monocrops with high inputs mm-hmm. and high outputs mm-hmm. and a lot of technology. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of run its course, to be blunt. I mean, we could debate about that in the pub, but what's become clear is that there's a lot of money that moves through agriculture, but it flows through the hands of the farmers, actually, and that they themselves are having a farm income crisis. So mm-hmm. most farmers really, I think there was a recent federal census poll that said the average farmer at the time made $7 an hour. Most farmers have to have second and third jobs off farm, or they're dipping into their retirement savings, or, you know, they're getting supported in some other way, right? So that's why we've got an aging farming population, because this whole model of high input, high output, bang, 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 efficiencies mm-hmm. is just not going to work for right livelihood and for local communities and economies, to be perfectly blunt. So what's so exciting right now, and it truly is, I mean, I have so much enthusiasm for it and passion, and I'm not the only one, is that there's this rise of a return or a reimagining of the small scale intensive farm. And the idea that farms are points of connection, and that we have diverse revenue streams that happen within a farming life, right? So it's not just about growing and selling your vegetables in the fresh market. That's a lovely thing, but it's actually a very difficult way to actually have a livelihood. Where if you start to build in a diversity of revenue streams, then you start being able to really support yourself. So that means having agritourism opportunities where you've got people coming and having, you know, experiences on the farm, maybe getting married there, maybe having a Feast of Fields festival, or you've got sort of like the Roost, for example. You can see they have wine, they have a bakery, they have a sit down meal area, they've got live music, et cetera, et cetera. Really, the possibilities are endless. And so what you're starting to see is people being extremely creative with the myriad of ways that you can have multiple sort of spin-off businesses from food production. So it's so exciting, you know, and North Saanich has so many tucked away exciting things happening, and the peninsula in general, you know, we've got a bit of an explosion happening right now. And the main barrier, I'm going to say, is access to land. You know, it's expensive to start a business. And, you know, we all know that land here in North Saanich is, I mean, most farmers can't even begin to start. They don't even bother looking for land, for farmland here.
Right, right.
Because it's too expensive. But guess what? 40% of our land in North Saanich is within the agricultural land reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so what are we doing here? We've got a situation where we're sitting on a beautiful amount of farmland, but no farmers can afford to buy it.
Yeah.
And so here comes the Farmpreneur program.
Yeah.
That's really the idea here, is that what we're wanting to do is provide stable, you know, longer term access to land and provide a supportive environment, what we're calling supported incubator plots, for emerging farmers who have some experience in the industry, who have an idea, maybe this is even their second career, and they can set up shop. They've got access to shared amenities. They can share the greenhouse that's going to be there. They can plug into the irrigation that's going to be there. They've got a field processing site that's developed there. There's shared storage. And then they get access to this network of mentors. So we're going to have sort of one site mentor, one farmpreneur mentor that meets with them weekly. And then they're going to, you know, depending on what their business is that they're launching, we're going to bring in customized guest mentors to come in and tell them about the flower industry or zero waste packaging or the circular economy or et cetera, right? And so it's sort of, you know, hopefully churning out a cohort of young farmers and business folks who understand that this is a team-based game. This is a cohort-driven game.
Yeah.
You know, success comes through collaboration.
Yeah.
And we're just going to build.
Does your business model include sharing profits like a co-op or even sharing with the municipality? Is that inherent in the model somehow?
Well, I mean, I'm a big believer in the sharing economy. I mean, that's really the way that I'm wired. I don't want to be too prescriptive, and I don't think anyone in this project wants to be too prescriptive, because really what we're bringing people on, there's a sort of an emerging organic collaborative quality that happens as people get together and farm together. So I know at Halliburton, they sit down and they have a nice big winter meal every year, and they talk about how they're going to, you know, co-brand, co-market, and they all collaborate together at the farm gate and things like that. But we're already talking about, you know, gleaning programs for grade B food, you know, to help, you know, low-income marginalized folks to, you know, sharing food. So, I mean, the possibilities are endless. So really, we're at this point, we're keeping it quite open to conversation.
When you said you just recently found out that you're moving forward?
Last week.
So when do you expect to be up and operational?
Yeah, so we've got our applicants coming in right now for the Farmpreneur program. So we launched the promotion last Thursday, and we've already started getting responses in. So we're hoping to have our first cohort in place by the end of the new year. And then we're getting our fencing going in and our irrigation and our greenhouse for the new year. So,
wow.
Yeah, full speed ahead. It's
moving quick. That's good.
It is moving quick for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are, and I've driven around town and we see these areas in which people are allowed to farm, not farm necessarily, but grow their own vegetables, these little plots, these little areas. So this concept, you know, of growing your own food is not new. However, the Farmpreneur program, as you identified, is really more geared towards making this a career or a livelihood. that in fact that you do something with the food that you grow and cultivate, correct? And there's learning and mentoring. I mean, you're literally a school. You're a business school for farming.
We are.
Up there. And fully supported by the environment and the community around you. I mean, this is what North Saanich is known for. Kelly and I, you know, would love to help market. Okay, like that's another piece of this. As far as I'm concerned, the best way to market food security, environmentally engaged activities is through telling stories. So Jen, please let, you know, you folks know that we're here to help promote.
Beautiful.
And then, you know, as you mentioned, there are so many other elements. So for example, the folks on Mills Road, they're the market.
Pickle Fig.
Thank you. Yes. I'm getting old. I forget this stuff. You know, they have what, half a dozen income streams coming out of there. And on top of that, it's becoming a place to go. Like it's a actual destination. Oh, like it's a day trip. You know, there's a farm. It's so fun. So there's so many elements to this. One that I'm really particularly interested in that you could reflect upon is collectively, when you add up all this stuff, you're actually creating a sector. You're creating an economic development movement that individually wasn't. The individually was small businesses, people trying to make a living. Yeah. Collectively, this starts to become, as far as Kelly and I are concerned, could be a global center for agritourism, food security, food sustainability, climate change, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Is that something that's on your horizon? Could that be a part of this?
I think food is truly the great connector. I mean, it is the one thing that every single person does every single day, right? It's such an essential service, and creating great food that comes from the land is, to me, it's a no fail. And to boot, it tastes great, it smells great, it feels great, you know, all of those things. It's so appealing. And it's also the practice of farming together in community is a wonderful community connector. I actually got into food because I'm more sort of, my bigger umbrella role really is to be a community connector. I really see the benefits of food production for community growth. So if that's the kind of local economy that we want to be growing here in North Saanich and the peninsula and the island, I just see nothing but opportunity ahead of us. And when you then sort of underpin that with university research and expertise, and you start, you know, bringing in extension service training and that sort of thing, then it starts to have, you know, wider regional and international implications. And, you know, even in the applicants already that we've received for the Farmpreneur program, there's an international component here. Like it attracts that kind of curiosity, because I think people are figuring it out that food is something we've got to fix, and it's a really exciting problem to work on. So I'm a grassroots organizer personally, but I also do see that this is an international movement that we're engaged in.
Totally.
It's just all, it gives me, I just got goosebumps. So.
Excellent. Goosebumps. That's what we do here.
Well, and the pandemic, I think, really brought some focus to local food security, certainly.
Yeah.
Not to mention toilet paper security, but food security too.
I forgot about the toilet paper. Oh, good Lord.
and a lot of people, myself included, during, you know, being quarantined and working from home, luckily, we started to try to do our own gardening. And I think a lot of people, again, definitely me, realized how hard it is. It's hard. Farming's hard work, and it's hard to grow. Like when you go in the grocery store, when I go in the produce now and I see those big, huge bags of carrots, and I think, well, man, I was barely able to grow, you know, six. And here's a bag of 20 for $5.99 or something.
Right? I know. You don't look at it the same
way. I always
wonder,
how do the farmers make money? you know, when the consumers are, I mean, I think we're shifting into mm-hmm. putting more value on the food that we buy, but mm-hmm. leading up until this time, it's always about the most for the least spend. Mm-hmm. And usually that works its way through the supply chain, but always kind of ends up on the farmer because that's where it starts. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's definitely a paradigm shift in the thinking that we need to overcome and realize that a good carrot grown properly without the chemicals is worth more than one that isn't. And it's same with a chicken or an egg or whatever.
Absolutely. And it's, I mean, in a way, I mean, our global supply chains for food are marvelous things. I mean, I think we need to stop and marvel at the fact that we can get ripe bananas flown in for $1.29 a pound. You know, it's incredible, and it's about economies of scale, and it's also heavily subsidized in its own way. And so, in a way, local food has always had to compete against the efficiencies of the global supply chains, and that is difficult because we will never beat it on price alone. Right. But I think what we do have going for us here within our local economy is that there's ethics. So if consumers care about ethics of, you know, how animals are treated or how the soil is built or not built or how farmers are exploited or not, that's important. Relationship. People want to be connected with their region and they want to have their food be part of relationship. And I think the piece we need to solve locally still is the convenience factor. So we've still got people, myself included, who, you know, I'm going to do my weekly shop at Thrifty's and I'm glad that there's some local food there that I can buy. But we need to be better, I think, at showing people, you know, how to eat locally. You know, what do we have right now? You know, 50 ways to cook turnips and rutabagas, right? We need to do that. But we also need to get really good at, you know, doing the meal prep and like the fresh meal kits and sort of, you know, Spud is a great example, I think, of a really good success story of how to get more local food into the mouths of people. Right now, less than 10% of our food that we eat here is local. 90% is imported, right? Yeah. More than 90% is imported. And the other thing that's important to know is that 97% of our local food is sold direct to consumer. 97% of it is direct to consumer. So that means farm gate sales, farmers markets, and like CSA programs, right?
Yeah.
So that is a lovely thing, but it's also a very vulnerable place to be in because if COVID hits and suddenly farmers markets or restaurants shut down, local food is scrambling, right? Yeah. So what we've got to start doing is getting better at the value-added products in our local food. So it's not just about fresh tomatoes in August. It's got to be about that North Saanich tomato sauce. That isn't that great and isn't that yummy, and I'm going to pick up 5 cans of that.
Oh God, we're going to tell those stories. I can't wait.
Right? So that's what we want to launch. So one of the goals that I would love to have is that every year as part of the Farmpreneur program that we launch, you know, a single value-added product, like as a cohort, you know, how fun would that be? You know, and it's something we're playing with as an idea right now, but like, why don't we do that? You know, what can we do where we take carrot tops, for example, like the green head of the carrots that you had such a hard time growing, Kelly, can we turn that into a really super tasty dip that normally it would just get thrown onto the compost pile, but actually it can make a fabulous dip. And then why don't we test, you know, 5 different versions of that dip at the Thursday night Sydney Farmers or market. And then the one that the locals pick as their favorite, guess what? Now we go over to Camosun Innovation Center and we figure out what the best reusable packaging is for our new carrot top pesto.
Yeah.
And then we get it into Thrifty's, right? What if we did that every single year? And 10 years from now, we've got 10 new value-added products that are being introduced, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, that one, I've got 4 questions left for you. And we've already been half an hour. My apologies.
That's
You know, we Kelly and I came up with this title for the podcast, 27 Minutes with John and Kelly. And it's because generally speaking, that's when people get a little bit fatigued with whatever. We've never yet once stuck within that framework. But this is fascinating stuff. People are going to hang with us. This that piece around the value add and creating that and getting it out to the market lends itself well to sort of my area of at least network expertise around within the peninsula. There is also a world-class vibrant manufacturing sector, global leaders in manufacturing and innovation is happening on the peninsula. There are experts within a mile of your facility that could really help some of these new farmpreneurs with some of the distribution, inventory, and selling of their product. Keep that in mind. Let's take advantage of that.
Oh my gosh, John, that's fantastic.
You know, yeah. Secondly, within food, often coupled with food is food and beverage, right? And there are some really cool stories around, you know, beverage manufacturing, wine manufacturing, beer manufacturing on the peninsula. Is that part of the, can that be part of this or maybe in the future within what you guys are doing or?
I think absolutely. You know, we're leaving it up to the farmpreneurs to bring us their ideas. You know, we're asking them to apply with a plan. Yeah. And so maybe their plan is that, you know?
Yeah. And, yeah. Okay.
And the other cool thing about Sandown, the lands are right next to the sort of the Sydney industrial area. Right. So it's a hop, skip and a jump from.
Totally.
They could go and rent out or even like collaborate and get together and rent out a space in that area. So that the farmland remains farmland, but then we've got this industrial.
Or conversely, rough estimates of employee size amongst, I'd say, the 60 to 70 manufacturing companies amongst the three municipalities, including the airport and now including the ferries, is in and around 5,000 people. So all of a sudden, you actually have a ready-made market where you could say to employees before they go home, you know, why don't you come out here and help us out a little bit and buy some of this stuff? Mm-hmm. So anyway, okay, lots to talk about there in the future. My two other points. First Nations. There are four First Nations on the peninsula. And I do a lot of work with these First Nations in helping align employment opportunities with the manufacturing sector. So I've gotten to know these folks and their communities and their cultures. And within each, especially Tsiawat, there are food production programs and active. And have you aligned? Are you thinking of aligned? If you're not, I can help.
John, that would be brilliant. Yes. And it's really important to say that, you know, Sandown lands are on traditional sachem land, and that the sachem folks have put in a formal letter saying, you know, these are our traditional lands and we are really wanting to pursue economic opportunities with the land. And so you know, that is, so reconciliation is woven into our society's mandate and what we want to do. And it's we're at the beginning stages of the conversation of figuring out what that's going to look like.
Okay.
So in other words, yes. And the other folks that we've, you know, we're connected also with Peninsula Streams, and Peninsula Streams has worked closely with SACEM. And so, you know, I think we're going to have a series of conversations over time, collectively, all of us. And then
it's inescapable to link, you know, to these.
And it's so exciting. I mean, this is that is the original local food system, is the indigenous food system of this area, right? This whole region used to be swampland, wetland, right? And the medicine plants that grew here, you know, this is the clam beds, all of that is connected. And so we need to figure out a food system that is right for this region. And that definitely includes indigenous food systems.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
So Kelly, I'm kind of dominating here. My apologies. I'm so thrilled and passionate about all this. I'm just giggly. But I do have a fourth and last question, Jen, and then maybe we can wrap up. But there are some ongoing activities that we should likely promote here. There's something called a Good Food Summit happening December 4th to 5th. Maybe explain a little bit about what that means. I understand a local Sydney councillor is involved with some of that stuff. Maybe.
Oh my gosh. So I've been so head down, hunkered down with launching Sandown that I can't give you too many of the specifics. But what I will say is that the Good Food Summit is an annual gathering of all the folks in the region, all the folks really who are interested in developing this regional food network. And it is organized and inspired by CR Fair and the unstoppable force that is Linda Geggy, who is basically the midwife of the local food system. Right. And she is this fantastic connector. She started Life Cycles originally, which is a really important nonprofit group. And so CR Fair is her next incarnation. And December 4th and 5th, and just go online is the best thing I can say. So, yeah. You know, politicians come and, you know, gleaning organizations and healthcare organizations and education organizations and agricultural organizations and indigenous organizations. And we all talk about what good food is. So, there's my plug.
That's so cool. And I do think it falls under, if someone is to link there, it falls under a Good Food Network website, goodfoodnetwork.ca.
You got it.
That's all I got. That's all I got. We're at 35, 37 minutes. We're going to have to expand our title, Kelly.
There you go. That was fun, you guys. I loved that.
Well, so did we. And yeah. our hope and goal is that it's just one of many. We want to be storytellers here, Jen, and reach expansive digital networks that just the two of us are lucky to have cultivated over the years. And then also through your guys' networks,
yeah,
and start to tell a story that a lot of folks have no idea about.
Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know, you know, how much stuff was going on the peninsula in general. Mm-hmm. But now all these new things, and Sandown sounds like it's going to bring, not that farming was ever off the map, but it's going to put it on the map. Mm-hmm. As the peninsula being the place in British Columbia for innovation and maybe a rebirth of an industry that is better than what it is.
Well, yeah, and it hits so many objectives.
Yeah.
Not just feeding, which is a major objective in of its own.
But the interesting thing for me, I think for us to really have a rocking food system, we have to get farmers. So the young farmers coming in are attracted to the working the land, permaculture, food growing abundance and all that. But they tend to be, you know, business is not something that they comfortably wear on their shoulders. And I am the same way. I come at it from a nonprofit background, from a kind of community development background. But social enterprise, this whole idea of the triple bottom line and all that, the sharing economy, has suddenly made it a kind of a kinder and gentler place to explore. And I really think it's the intersection of, you know, the food growing with the business that is going to be the game changer. And so I'm so happy to be connected with the two of you, because that's the part we have to solve. So farmers have to get comfortable with the idea of labeling and packaging and you know, manufacturing and all those gotta be words that they're feeling good about.
It's not necessarily a new thing. We've had lots of clients over the years that made things and they were really passionate, is passionate about their branding and their packaging as the product that's inside it.
Yeah.
I think where you guys are going to have a massive impact is broadening that out to a wider audience. And you're basically creating a new lane for agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plus you and I, Kelly, have gone to great lengths to try to redefine what business is. Because 90% plus of business in this province, if not Canada, is small business. And if we take the business out, actually small business equals families trying to make a living. And they're not employed by a public service agency. They're just trying to make it on their own. Yeah. And if you look at it that way, then that's exactly what you're doing, Jen, and what you're trying to promote. And so it's not a matter in necessarily of intersection as it is as one of education and just learning what can I do with this? How can I make a living with this? How can I network, market, all those pieces that help you keep your small business, therefore your family, going and making a sustainable life. However, 90%+ of the businesses in the region are small.
Yeah.
And we would love to start to build that base and redefine and help educate however we can.
Well, and one of the most difficult parts of being a small business owner is it's lonely. Mm-hmm. Right. So when we hear things about like what you're saying, we have a cohort and at the end of the week, people get together and talk about, well, how are we going to do this and that, mm-hmm. you know, as small business owners. And that's why we have organizations like CFIB. It's a way to try to bring us together so that maybe it's not just, you know, one or two people out there plugging away.
Hmm. Jen, are you aware that Kelly is a master chef?
I do. So good. I just love it. Yeah.
So, you know, he understands so much more about food than I do. I clearly overeat. People can't see me, but I'm a heavy man. I love food. But Kelly, you know, Kelly's got this sort of spiritual connection to how it connects, how it tastes, what it does to you, how it impacts you, that I don't have. And I just love hearing his stories about food that are very different than mine, you know.
This is a really nice full circle end here, because Jen started out talking about how important food was and how it brings everyone together. And it does. And it sounds like Sandown mm-hmm. is going to bring together people on a whole new level.
Isn't it fun? And you know what? We also have a view.
There's a view.
Yes, there's a high point that's where the old caretaker's house used to be, the old jockey caretaker house. And my plan is for picnic tables and maybe an outdoor kitchen or a food cart. And then, you know, just chilling and admiring.
What is it, a view of Pat Bay or yeah, the peninsula?
A view of the whole lower section of Sandown.
Oh, man.
It's really, really the sweetest spot. When I say I'm not leaving, I'm just setting up shop there.
So you're not kidding.
I'm not kidding at all.
Well,
it's
been exciting. It's been an honor. It's been educational talking to you, Jen. Cannot wait till we cross paths again.
Mm-hmm. Likewise. And I really thank you for your support and your enthusiasm. And mm-hmm.
We're going to rock it. You take care.
Totally. Okay.
Thanks, Jen.
See you guys.